Bible school, that it'll be a great success for the Lord, that we'll reach souls, that the Word of God will be taught, and that young people and as older people alike will learn something about Jesus this week. So let's keep that ever on our mind. Pray for our director. She always works hard and to get this together, an assistant director, to be able to get things together for Vacation Bible School. It can be kind of stressful at times, so keep them in your prayer, especially when you have people that's lagging behind signing up for teacher jobs, and it makes you wonder if you're going to have enough. But like always, it comes together, and we appreciate that, and keep them in your prayers this week. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Remember this, he's a little six-year-old boy, I believe, I give out. Attacked there by a dog. So let's keep all them in prayer. The ones traveling to Florida, and remember Florida. Let's remember Mitzi and Juanita. Amen. Amen. So let's remember them as they travel, and let's remember Wyatt. So let's remember this. Remember the Alan Sheets family. Remember the other requests for David Lambert. So let's remember Dusty Long with Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. Do watch out for ticks. They are very bad this year. Let's remember this. Anyone else? So let's remember Miss Cox. Broken ribs are no fun. Let's remember Jamie in prayer. So let's remember Hort in our prayers. Continue to remember Helena Kathleen Ham. She did get to come home yesterday, so she's at George and Sandy's. So if any of you want to see Jimmy's baby, go by George and Sandy's and just drop in and tell them I sent you. Wait a minute, don't tell them I sent you. Yes, Joseph and Becky Boyer. Let's remember them. Anyone else? Prayer request. By uplifted hand. Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Alan, would you lead us this morning?
Amen.
All right. If you notice, the choir's not up here today. We were going to put Stephen back there, but we couldn't figure out how to get the door up so we could put him back there behind it and not tear it down. But anyway, we're going to use the congregation this morning for just a little bit to help us sing a couple of congregational songs. So if you will, get your white hymn book, turn to page number 512. 512 in the white book. We're going to sing all four verses.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes. Yeah.
page number 483. Okay.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansion bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim's pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the trials of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will be. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the street of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
I saw that the little stand here had tool storage behind it, so it's a good place to keep the song books when I don't have my pulpit up here to stick them into. So we appreciate all the work that's went into our Vacation Bible School already and the decorations, the skit preparation. That's why we've got the decorations up here for tonight for the skits and things, and they can have time to practice and play so they know where everything's at. So we appreciate all the time they've put into that and all the teachers and preparation for tonight and preparations that will be made this afternoon to finish up the final things for our food committee that will work this week to prepare and have the meals prepared each night. We appreciate all this, and Friday night, the ending with the hot dog supper. So we're just looking forward to a good time together, but most of the time, the meal in between the time we eat and the time we leave, feeding on God's Word is the most important. Having a good time and learning all we can about Jesus Christ, and it's very important. Like I've said before, I remember Vacation Bible School very well from my childhood, being there and learning the lessons and having the time of recreation. Now, I don't know if it ever was popular up here or popular, or however how you say it, but we used to play Frisbee. That was the big thing. Everybody played Frisbee after classes was dismissed and in the parking lot your car was in danger because there was going to be a Frisbee hit somebody's car, guaranteed about every night. But we had a good time together. The kids got close bonds, it's still there today, and fond memories of Vacation Bible School, but most of all, the lessons and the crafts that went along that taught lessons that we never forgot, and we just thank the Lord for that. So we're looking forward to that time together. This time we ask our brother deacons if they would to come and pass the offering plate and receive the offering this morning. Stephen, would you ask a blessing this morning? Do remember tonight, we will start at 6:30. And each night we will be having a little bit more than a snack, but not quite a meal. for everyone at 6 o'clock, and then Vacation Bible School will start at 6:30. So remember this, if you don't have a way, or if you know somebody that would like to come to Vacation Bible School that might not have a way, we need to know so our van drivers can get them in the route and be able to pick those up. So please let us know as soon as possible today so we can make preparation to be able to get those people here for Vacation Bible School. All right, stand to your feet. Welcome each other to the church. It says sometimes a little help can mean everything. I would like to thank everyone for all your prayers, gifts, cards, flowers, and money. I appreciate all of it so very much. I desire your continued prayers on my behalf. God has brought me this far and will lead me on through whatever I must face. I hope to be able to come back to church before too much longer. Love you all. Your sister in Christ, Nancy Wooten. God is obviously with you, helping you in everything you do. Your care makes a real difference in the lives you touch. So we appreciate that card from Mom. Do continue to keep her in your prayers. Any other announcements that anyone knows of that I've failed to mention? All right. This time, I think Tammy had a song she would like to sing this morning, and Chastity's going to sing for us. So y'all want to arm wrestle over who goes first? Or it's okay. Chastity, you can go first, she said.
Thank you. sometimes we just need to be reminded that we need to praise Him no matter what. Good, bad, whatever we think's bad, you know, that's still part of His plan for us. And it was just really, really beautiful. He did a great job. I have no idea why this song keeps coming back to me to sing, so I'm just going to sing it. Maybe somebody's going to get a blessing. It's Come to the River by the Rhett Walker Band. And I have to tell you, I've been practicing this not that long, because you guys make it so easy to get up here in front of you, a lot easier than it used to be, trust me. And I don't feel so bad if I mess up. So that's good for me. I'm not real sure about you all. Just to warn you, if I mess up in the middle of the song and I can tell it, I'm going to start over. So. Torn between myself and your truth, these cursed memories forever seeping through. Oh, my thirst for myself left me wanting more, till I found myself face down. Come to the river.
Anybody else got a song on your heart this morning? If not, if you got your Bibles, turn back to 1 Kings, chapter 20. 1 Kings, chapter 20. It may take me a while to get adjusted because this has a little different angle than the pulpit does, so I may have to get it set here where it won't slide off. But it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. We're thankful for these songs that's been sung. Remember to praise Him. Remember to come to the river and drink of the water of God. And drink freely, because once He gives us that well of water, that river of water, it's a water of life. And we're thankful for that this morning. This morning, as we think about Vacation Bible School and teaching young lives and preparing them for the battle that they're going to face, and preparing us as Christians always, whether we're in Sunday school, and I'd urge you to come out for Sunday school. It's very important that you learn the Word of God during that hour of time that we meet together and break it down and have discussion time. It's so important to learn that you're prepared as you face Satan the coming week. It may be something that you've addressed in Sunday school to help you to be able to go forward with, and in the preaching of the Word and the study of God's Word. It's something we need to be involved with, so we'll know that we have a God that is not only the God of the mountain, but He's also God of the valley. He's God of the plain, as we're going to study about today, as we see King Ahab here, the king of Israel. As at this point in time, this is after they had the battle or the contest on Mount Carmel that we've seen them go through last week, as we talked about, and Jezebel getting upset with Elijah and threatening to kill him because he killed all the prophets there of Baal and the prophets of the groves. And here we see now another prophet has came to Ahab to tell him that he's going to be victorious, that he's going to lead this battle. But during this time, the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, he comes to King Ahab here and to the children of Israel and says, listen, says, I want your wives, I want your children, I want your gold, your silver, everything you've got that I think that I want that, and I'm going to take it from you. Well, to try to keep from being war, we see that King Ahab said, nothing that I have is going to be withheld from you. And then the king, Ben-Hadad, he got that message and he sent back to him. He says, listen, I'm going to send people back to your place there, and they're going to go through your city. And anything that they see that they think that might be what I want, they're just going to take it, and we're going to have it. And King Ahab told all the elders of the city that, and they said, we ain't going to have that. They're not going to come in here and do that. And we see that God now sends a prophet to Ahab to lead them out of this, what they're facing here. Today in America, where we're at, is that Satan has come, said, I'm going to get rid of this Jesus that your country was founded on and believed in. I'm going to turn you away from God, and I'm going to teach your children every other way besides being godly people. I'm going to put every kind of torment in front of them. I'm going to put every kind of temptation. I'm going to put every kind of drug that there is known to man out there to mess up their mind. I'm going to lead them away from God, and there's nothing you're going to do to stop me, Christians, because I see you're growing silent, and I'm going to take whatever I want. Unfortunately, many of the leaders in the past have bowed down and said, just come and run over us and do what you want to. Well, I'm here to say that if I'm the only one left, which I don't think that I am, I'm going to stand in the gap and say, God is the God that's in charge. God is the God whom I serve, and He's more powerful than Satan. That we can take America back, that we can take our homes back, we can take our churches back, we can take our county back, we can take our country back, and we can further the reach of the gospel and be a light once again instead of a laughter to people that once looked at America as being a great power. We have left God. God did not leave us. But we need to be as Ahab and the children was. Now, Ahab was not a godly man, but God is going to use him and going to use the children, excuse me, to be victorious here and let them know that there is a God still in Israel. There still is a God in America. No matter what they try to say, no matter what they try to do, but let me tell you, my God is not only the God of the mountains. Thank God He's the God of the plains. He's the God of the valley. He's the God everywhere, nowhere absent. Thank God, the God that I serve. Now we're going to get into the reading of God's Word in chapter 13, verse 13 of chapter 20 of 1 Kings. It says, behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Now he's talking about the Syrians that have come up against them here into battle and going to besiege the city and take whatever they want to. That's what Satan thinks he's able to do. He thinks he's going to take whatever he wants to from you. That's a blessing that God has given you. But I'm here to tell you today, children, it's not so. Satan doesn't get to have anything that God has unless we give it over to him. And I'm not about to get that devil nothing today that's mine from God. I want all the blessings that God has in store for me. I want to live every day better than I lived yesterday, and more important, live for God in a greater way, that someone would see Jesus in my life. Jesus here was on the scene. God was on the scene working. They were here together, and they were looking down on Israel for the protection of the people. Thank God we still have a God that looks down on us as a flock of God, and He puts His hand of protection upon us. Thank God, and there's nothing that we can't do through Jesus Christ and through the blood that He shed. If we'll claim the victory in Jesus Christ, march forward in victory and not bow down in defeat, thank God we can see the blessings of God still today, just as the children of Israel are going to see here in just a little while, as God delivers them from the Syrians. God will deliver us from the power of Satan, but we've got to follow Him. We've got to bow a knee and humble our heart. It says, I will deliver thee into thy hand this day. Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Thank God, that's what I think some people have forgot today, that God is still God. Jesus is still the Lord, and thank God He is one to be feared. Thank God He is one to be loved. He is one to serve, and there's no other God above Him. There's only one God, and He has a Son named Jesus that came, bled, and died at Calvary, that gave us victory through the blood. In verse 14 it says, and Ahab said, by whom? Now, are you asking that question today? What preacher talks a lot about us doing this and us doing that for God, but who's going to do it? Well, if you're asking that question, friend, I want you in the altar, because it's by all of us, by God's people. God has servants here, and that's us. He has us for a mouthpiece to share the Word of God. But if we're all sitting silent, we're not making enough noise for God, they don't know we're alive anymore. I don't want to pull out a mirror and stick under your nose to see if you're still breathing. I want to see some life in you. And if Jesus is in your heart, thank God, there ought to be some life, and it ought to be coursing through your veins, that people will see a difference. People will see a difference. And Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the province. Then he said, who shall order the battle? Boy, he's full of questions, ain't he? Who? You think he's an owl? Who's going to order the battle? Who's going to be in charge of this? You're saying we're going to be victorious. Who's going to be the one leading the battle? And I'm glad you asked that. He said, who shall order the battle? And he said, thou. Do we say, here I am, Lord, send someone else? You ever done that? Boy, they'd be a lot better at it, God. I know we need vacation Bible school people, but boy, they'd be a lot better at it than I am. We can point fingers and find other people that's better suited for the job. But guess what? If God's poking at your heart and saying, I want you, guess what? You're already prepared for the job. It's time just to step out and do it. Ahab here was prepared for the job. He just didn't know it. God was going to use this man to lead Israel into victory, to defeat the Syrians, to send them back to their home country licking their wounds. Let me tell you, we can send Satan back to hell where he belongs, and let him be defeated once again, because we claim in the name of Jesus Christ in His blood the victory that Christ has promised us through His blood, that we don't have to be a defeated people today. We don't have to walk around with a long face. Thank God we serve a living God. We can have joy in our heart. We can have a song in our heart, and we can lift Him up and praise Him and not sit around silent as we have so long. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the province, and they were 232. And after the number of all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. Looks like a small army, don't it? Can I remind you of a time when there was even a smaller army that started out with 32,000 men? And they said, well, ones of you that's just not prepared and ready for battle, just go home. And it kept dwindling down. And 300 went and beat the whole army because they listened to God. Little is much when God's in it. It don't take a great big army when we're following a great big God. He's already done all the preparation. He's done all the battle winning. All we've got to do is just follow His leadership, and we'll be victorious. But here we see they had 7,000 men besides the 232 princes of the province. And they went out at noon. Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions. He and the kings and 32 kings that helped him. See, they was out there partying. They wasn't paying attention. They wasn't prepared for the battle. Let me tell you, that's where we've been as Christians, not prepared for the battle. Oh, we've got victory through God. We don't have to do anything. And we've sat down. Listen, we're still in a battle. We have victory. Yes, it is ours. It is God's, because He's already victorious through His Son coming and redeeming mankind back to Him. But there's still a battle going on, waging for those souls that's still lost. And for us to be a soldier and stand by and do nothing, we have surrendered to Satan. We stand there with our guns in our hands or our sword in our hand with our Bibles, but yet we're not prepared to use them. We've not practiced wielding the sword of faith and the Word. We wait for someone else to do the work. But God said for us to all be prepared, be ready. But we see here now that they wasn't ready because they were drinking and having their earthly good time. They said the young man and the princes of the providence went out first. Remember how many they were? 232. And Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men come out from Samaria. And he said, whether they come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they come out for war, take them alive. See, he underestimated his enemy. We can't underestimate Satan. Satan will use everything. He'll use your wife. He'll use your children. He'll use your job. He'll use you against you every chance he gets. He knows every weakness that every one of us has and where to attack us. Why? Because he studied and watched our life to find where he can get in. Wherever he will attack, he knows, and he does not underestimate the power of God because he's already seen it. When Jesus walked into hell that day and took the keys of death and hell from Satan, he saw the power of God. This is the spirit, the angel that was in charge of God's throne room in praise and worship and decided he wanted to be better than God. He felt God's wrath as he was tossed out of heaven. A third of the angels also felt that wrath, but nothing compared to what is yet to come as Jesus already has the victory. And he said, whether they be come out, we've just read that, for peace, or whether they could be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the prince of the providence came out of the city and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man. And the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. 7,232 men went out and slew the army of the Syrians. And there was a great multitude of them, it says in God's Word. But yet, here was a small number. Let me tell you, when America turns its back on Israel, we can watch out. We can watch out. We need to stand and pray for them as a nation. We need to pray that God's people have protection. Because they are the time clock to watch, not America. Does anybody know the second largest financial institution in America? Might surprise you. It's not out in California. It's right here in North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina is the second leading financial market in America. Let me tell you, they're watching and they're looking to their money for their gods and their goods. We need to look for God and look to God for the blessings of God. We need to look to God because he has blessed us with so much. But it said here that the king of Israel went out and slew him with a great slaughter. Satan is not undefeatable. Let me tell you, he has been defeated. And he can suffer defeat today. We can knock him down once again. We do not have to allow him to have rule in our life. We do not have to allow him to have foothold in our life if we'll stand with God. Now this 7,232 men, if they had been cowards, not willing to fight, here it says, every man slew his man. Okay. Technical difficulties. I thought it was me going down for a minute, but I'm just glad I'm still standing. But anyhow, they went out against the odds and were victorious. Today it seems like if we go out, we're going against the odds because there's so many that are anti-God, anti-Jesus. Oh, you can have religion, just don't mention Jesus. You can have God, but get there any way you can except through Jesus, and it's okay. Well, friend, God said that's not okay. God said you've got to come my way. In verse 22 it says, and the prophet came to the king of Israel. He was coming with a warning. I'm going to warn you today. When we have victory, watch out. Satan will attack again. He's not going to sit back and not bother you. Just because you're victorious over Him once and have one stand, don't think He won't come back. He will. He'll come back prepared. He'll come back harder. He'll rage against you. But just know that not only do you have a God on the mountain, you got a God in the valley, you got a God in the plain. God is everywhere. God will be there for you. Verse 22, and the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. He's telling him, next year this time, he's going to come back. He's not learned his lesson yet. He's going to go back and he's going to get his army. He's coming back. So be prepared. Let me tell you, Satan will attack you every day of your life. He will not leave you alone. And if it seems like he's leaving you alone, watch out, because he's working very hard and the attack is coming. Don't be fooled and say that Satan will leave you alone always. He will attack. Be ready for the attack. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. God, thank God I've got a God of the hills and I've got a God in the valley. Therefore they were stronger than we. That we were fighting in the hills, so that made them stronger than we are. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. Let's get them down here on our level, and we'll be all right. See, that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to bring us down to his level. Thank God I don't have to get down to Satan's level. Jesus raised me up above that. Thank God I don't have to live in that muck and mire anymore. I don't have to live down there in that sin and wallow around in it and be dissatisfied down there being nasty. Thank God I've been made clean by Jesus. I've been set up on a higher plane. Not only me, but everybody that believes and trusts in Him. And trusts the name of Jesus and has been saved. We're set on a higher plane. But they're trying to make sense of why they were defeated. Well, their God's the God of the hills. We'll beat them in the valley, or we'll beat them in the plain, because that's where we can take them. We're stronger down there. We'll be stronger than they are. And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number the army like the army that thou hadst lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. You know, it's good to have good counsel. King of Syria here didn't have too good a counsel. After they suffered such a defeat, by such a small number of people, they ought to know it wasn't just the hills. There was something else going on. Let me tell you, when you got God with you, you don't have to have a great number to provide a great victory. God's already provided it. Well, will we stand for it? Will we stand with Him? Because thank God I'm victorious. You say, well, preacher, you got high blood pressure. I know it. Bless Satan's heart, he's trying to attack and get me there. Preacher, you got diabetes. I know it. I've lived with it for more years than I care to remember. But Satan don't have victory over me because I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. He may attack this body. I'm going to lay this one aside because I got a better one waiting. Nothing like this old flesh has ever seen. Thank God I am victorious through Jesus. But now the king of Syria listens to his counsel. He did so just like... replaced it horse for horse, chariot for chariot, man for man, removed those 32 kings, put captains in their places. He's making preparation. We're going to win the battle this time because we got them. We're going to fight them on that flat ground. We're going to fight them on the flat ground so we can be victorious. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present. You notice that? They were all present. When it came time for the battle, nobody stayed at home. Nobody sat back and said, somebody else go in my place. Well, we whipped them the last time. There's no use for me to put any time or effort into it. It said they were all there. They were all prepared for the battle. They were all present and went against them, and the children of Israel pitched before them like two flocks of kids. But the Syrians, now listen, filled the country. Filled the country. It seems like we're fighting a losing battle, that we're outnumbered. But But just remember, David went out there with five stones and a slingshot to go against a man 9 foot tall as a small boy here. That was ruddy in complexion, was small in stature, not able to prove a man's armor, but he was victorious because he gave it to the Lord. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. It matters how big our God is. He'll give us the victory if we'll go out. If we're willing to march and be all present, God will give us victory. He'll give us souls for our labor. He'll give us children for vacation Bible school. He'll give us adults to come in. He'll give us those volunteers that need to work to help make it a success. God will, if we'll be obedient. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God in the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. How many times is America going to have to hear that message? I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am that I am. Before we wake up and realize it and honor him as being God the Father. A nation who has went through war after war, a civil war where 600,000 people lost their lives because of differences in our own country. 600,000. You think about those numbers. But yet God has made us a great nation, has gave us a pride that we one time had of our nation, of being a great Christian nation. I want to reclaim that today. I want us once again to return to God and be that Christian nation that we one time was, that we can have victory. We want better times for our children that's coming, then we're going to have to get back to God. Not leave it to them to come back, but us as adults right now, that we need to start in the direction of following God once again as a nation. But we see here that because the king of Syria was stiff-necked and said, hey, their God's just a God of the hill. He can't do nothing down here. God was going to give them victory. God will give us victory because he is God if we'll be his people. He will hear, and he will give us victory. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. You talk about a bloody battle. But it was one more fierce battle. 100,000 of the Syrians killed in one day. Boy, we'd have protest after protest that happened today. We shouldn't be involved. We shouldn't be fighting for God. We shouldn't be mentioning his name. We were able to offend somebody. When we quit fighting for God, we're already defeated. We're already defeated when we quit fighting for God. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell on 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city unto an inner chamber. Can you just imagine 27,000 men, the wall fell on, killed them all. That's 127,000 right there. 127,000. You talk about discouraging to their king. So he goes to the inner chamber and says, and his servant said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray, thee put sackcloths on our loins and ropes on our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Preadventure, he will save thy life. We see here, he said, they might be merciful. We hear they're merciful. Let's go out to them and let's make like we want to make right with them. We want peace. We don't want no more war because they'd already been whipped twice. They didn't want no more war. They were satisfied to give up fighting, to beg for mercy. And we see here that they came out and they spoke with the king and the king gave them mercy. Didn't kill them like he was supposed to. Didn't do away with them. That was one of the problems that Israel always faced. They didn't follow through with exactly what God always told them to do. Part of it they did, part of it they were lax in. And that's why they've had so many problems. They've let men go that by God's order should have left, should have been killed, but they left them. And so today we still have the problems over in the Middle East that we have because of the errors of these people. And we see that he restored to him, and it said a certain man, and here in verse 35 of the prophet, said unto the neighbor in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then he said to him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. As soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Now, if I come up to you and tell you to hit me, you first ask me if I'm all right. Because God ain't told me to tell you that, and if I come up and say that, my sugar might be low. But you make sure. But here we see that he told him, he said, smite me. He was in travail because he knew that the word of God hadn't been followed like it should have been. They had let this man go. They had restored him and hadn't taken his life. He was in travail here, and he asked him to smite him, and he didn't. He said then, verse 37, then he found another man and said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in the smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed, he cried unto the king and said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man, if by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it. It was either going to be his life for the other man's life that he was supposed to be watching, or he's going to pay a talent of silver. And in 41 it says, and he hasted and took off the ashes from away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. God don't play around. And it's time we remember that in America. He is a merciful God. We are in the New Testament times. We are His New Testament bride. It's here upon the earth. But God also is a God of wrath. God is a God of appointments. God is a God of using the good and the bad to accomplish His work. Here they were supposed to have taken this man's life because he was of no good. He did not discern God. He did not trust God. He did not follow God. And he was a great ruler. And God wanted him gone from his place. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. Now let me tell you here, he seen that he didn't accomplish all that God sent him out to do. He was heavy-hearted and displeased at the words of the prophet that his life was going to be for the life of the man that he let go. His people was going to be for the people of the Syrians. Let me tell you, like I said before, I don't want Satan having anything that's due me from God. God owes me nothing, but He gives me great blessings. He pours out from the windows of heaven, fills my soul to overflowing, and I deserve none of it. But He loves me and He loves you. He wants us to be victorious, church. But when we're on the hill and we're fighting Satan, stay in the battle. When we're in the plain and we're fighting Satan, stay in the battle. If you're in the valley and you're fighting Satan, stay in the battle. That valley is fertile ground where you grow. It's thin on top. Oh, you have a good time sometimes up on the valley. Boy, up on the mountaintop, I mean. But down in the valley is when you grow and become stronger. And thank God I've got a God that serves in all those places. It gives me strength that I can be victorious no matter where the battle rages. And how are we going to be victorious? Which spirit are we feeding today? The spirit of obedience to God or the spirit of disobedience. Whichever one we feed will be the one that wins the battle. Will be the stronger. The Syrians thought they were strong in might because of their numbers. Ahab was strong in his small number because of God. Because of God. Not because of Ahab, but because of God. We can be strong in number. But we'll be stronger in God. As I get a song ready of invitation this morning, you may be battling with being lost. And friend, until you see yourself lost, you can't be found. Until you see that you need Jesus, you think everything's okay. But my friend, you've got to have Jesus to be saved. Not just anything that you can do to work your way there. You can work yourself all your life. You can work yourself to death and not meet Jesus and go into heaven. You must know Jesus as your Savior. Jesus. What a wonderful name. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Is there one here this morning that's lost and unprepared to meet Jesus? Know that if you died this moment, hell would be your home. Friends, you don't have to die in that condition. Jesus loves you and Jesus will save you if you'll humble your heart and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ and His finished work. That's all it takes, people. Trust Him, believe Him, confess Him. That's all Jesus is asking. Not for you to be perfect. Not for you to try to live a perfect life, because, friend, we can't do it. We can't do it. That's why He says, come to me. Come to me. He knows your weakness. He knows your frailty. He knows in your lost condition right now, Satan's trying to tell you everything in the book to keep you from coming and meeting Jesus as your Savior. But Jesus has more answers than Satan does. Will you come to Him this morning? Would you lift your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I know I'm lost and I need to be saved. Pray for me that I'll receive Jesus, that I'll just trust Him. That I'll just trust Him. Would you lift your hand this morning? Say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Maybe you're here this morning, you got a need in your heart that only you and God knows about. Bring it to this altar. Bring them to the altar. Whatever your needs might be, come and speak to God. Come and speak to God. The prophets were obedient when God spoke to them and told them, go tell King Ahab what I've said, and I'll be there. If He's speaking to your heart and asking you to come, if you're heavy-hearted about a situation maybe you're in or someone else is facing, bring it to the Lord. Let Him lift it off your shoulders. Friend, His is broad enough He can carry the weight of the world that you can't carry. Will you come? Will you come? But no more moving. I take your hearts for free. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and we thank You for this time of coming together. And God, we thank You that not only are You the God of the hills, but You're the God of the plain. Dear God, that from sea to shining sea, that You have made America great. And as our forefathers, dear Heavenly Father, trusted You and founded this nation upon You, God, I pray that our fathers now would see the need to follow God. That our homes may return in service to You. That our churches will return into service unto the Most High God, and eventually our nation will surrender to the power of Jesus. God, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy. We thank You for the great battle plans that You have given, dear God, to the people of Your word. Dear God, the success that they have had when they were obedient. And dear God, we thank You for the power that You have demonstrated time and time and time again. And God, we know that power is still real. We know that Your hand is only shortened by our lack of faith. And God, may our faith be strong, that Your hand may reach deep into our lives and provide the blessings for Your people that You so want to do. God, we thank You that You love us beyond measure, even in spite of ourselves and our service unto You, that You still love us, that You still long to have that relationship with Your children. And God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Vacation Bible School. Dear God, may it be a great success for You and people's lives be changed. May we grow in the understanding of your word. May we be firefighters for Christ, that we will stand against the wiles of the devil, because you fought one day that we wouldn't have to feel the fires of hell. As you went to the cross of Calvary, you fought a battle for all mankind that saved us from the torture and burning of Satan's hell that's prepared for him and his angels. And God, we thank you. We praise you for loving us when we were unworthy, that you loved us and gave us the very best that you had. And thank you for that home in heaven that you've prepared and that you wrote my name upon the deed the day that I was saved. And God, as it's in preparation, when we completed the day you called me home, God, I thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.